Psalm 32. I'll have you stand in just a moment for the scripture reading. I'm going to give you a few announcements from this morning. Do remember, Brother Scott Pauley will be with us July the 12th, a.m. and p.m. services. That is Sunday, July the 12th, Brother Scott Pauley. And also remember, Sister Heather Brooks, her bridal shower is this Saturday at 2 o'clock. There is a sign-up sheet on the back table there if you'll sign up, ladies. Shower for Heather Brooks this Saturday at 2 o'clock. Our Sunday school meeting will be next Sunday afternoon. So for Sunday school teachers, do remember that. That's next Sunday, our teachers meeting. And then our promotion will be the following Sunday, 2 weeks from today, will be our Sunday school promotion. And then, men, remember our staff meeting will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in the Annex building. All right. All standing to our feet now, we'll read Psalm 32. Look forward to hearing another good Bible message. Amen. Psalm 32, we'll read the entirety, 11 verses out of the Word of God. The Bible says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Amen.
Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. Now we pray, Lord, as we would prepare our heart and our mind to receive your word. God, we just pray your will be done in our midst. Thank you for your good presence that's been manifest here among us. And God, we just pray that you'd continue to accomplish your purpose in our midst tonight. Bless your word now as our pastor comes to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brandon. Well, I want to start by saying a couple of things. First of all, I want to thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit. It's very important that we are obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has been grieved in so many places, in so many ways, and we do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We want to be obedient and sensitive to the Spirit of God's leading. God will lead us. Question is, will we follow? And we must be sensitive to God's leading. I believe that you want God's leading in your life. I believe that Fellowship Baptist Church desires for God to lead us alone. I want to, next of all, say that this psalm is a psalm that the Bible says, if you look of David, and then look at that next word, masculine. That word is a word that means instruction. David's going to give us some instruction. You know, he promised God he would do that. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 are the two psalms that David wrote when he got right with God after his sin with Bathsheba. He was confronted by the man of God, the prophet of God. Nathan told him, "Thou art the man." But he had another message for David that I'll share with you in just a moment. And David shares it with us in this psalm. It blesses my heart. that not only did Nathan tell David, "You're the man," he said, "God's going to forgive you, David. God's going to forgive your transgression." The man of God knew the God in whom he served was a God of forgiveness. I don't ever want to take the forgiveness of God for granted. I don't ever take it as a light thing. God doesn't owe me forgiveness. God doesn't owe you forgiveness. I think if we're not careful, we'll think, well, that's just a God thing. That's just what God does. Well, He does do it, and it is the God thing, but He does it because He chooses to, not because He has to. God is a God of forgiveness. I want to share some things with you, but before I do, I want you to go to Psalm 51, and I'm just going to give you a few things, and we'll come back to this psalm another time, because I want to preach this psalm expositionally to you. Say, what in the world's that word? Well, I just want to go verse by verse. There's some great truths in this psalm that's going to help us. And I want to break it down and give you the truths that's going to help us as we move forward. This psalm will be a great blessing to us as a church. You see, I believe this psalm is going to unlock, now I do, I believe this psalm is going to unlock victory in many people's hearts. There's some people that really, really want victory. It's not that you're rebellious. It's not that you don't want victory. It's not that you want your way. It's just that maybe you've gotten in a place in your life and it's hard to get out of that place into the place you know where God wants you, and you're struggling with it. And I believe with all of my heart, God's going to help you. I'm going to share some things that David shared, and it's going to help. I've been here, all right? I'm not saying you're bad. I'm not saying, listen, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're at church. You want to do what's right. Many of you, you read your Bible, you witness to people, you want to do what's right. But there's something that David shares in this psalm. It's more than one thing. There's some things that David shares in this psalm that unlocks the victory. I want you to see how you can have the victory. We talk about it a lot. There's people that are striving for it. They're hungry for it. And David shares with us how we can have it in this psalm. Psalm 51, David made a promise to God, and Psalm 32 is him keeping his promise. David asked God to have mercy on him. He said, "God, I'm sorry." We know the two main events in David's life, don't we? I mean, it started with Goliath, and then there was Bathsheba. It's sad that those are the two major things that people remember about a man like David. But they do stand out. One of them appears to be his greatest victory, may just well have been. And one of them, without question, was his greatest defeat. And they both really impacted David's life. Here David had sinned with Bathsheba, and you can read in Psalm 51 right under, and I preached this when we were having our drive-in services. God laid this psalm on my heart. I can't remember exactly when it was. But right under Psalm 51, the heading there says, "A Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba." And he asked God to have mercy on him. He said, "God, I'm sorry." And before he finished this psalm, he said, "God, I want you to create," in verse number 10, "I want you to create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit." Now, this is a saved man talking, okay? This is a saved man. He said, "God, my spirit's twisted. I'm fouled up. I'm saved, but I'm just fouled up. I'm out of whack here. God, I need you to help me." I believe there's a lot of God's people that just need God to help them. I'll just tell you, brother, that we've all get here. You don't have to lay with a woman to get where David was. Now, that'll get you there. But you don't have to do that to get where David was in the spirit. He needed some help. And he went to the one who could help him too. Amen. Aren't you glad that God is always there? Amen. He said, "God, I need your help." And then he made this promise in verse number 13. He said, "God, I want you to create in me," in verse number 10. And he said, now look at verse 11. He said, "God, don't take your presence from me and your Holy Spirit." Now, this is Old Testament economy. This is Old Testament verbiage here. You have to understand what's taking place between then and now. All right? He said, "God, don't leave me. Don't leave me to myself, Lord. God, don't leave me to myself. You know, the worst thing that could happen to me is for God to leave me to myself. Oh, I don't want God to leave me to myself. I don't ever want to think that I can do this without God. But you know, there's just something in us that we think we can do this thing without God. We're so full of ourselves and so full of pride that if we're not careful, we'll think we can do God's things without God Himself. Listen, you talk about the epitome of pride. Brother, that's it. And David said, God, don't do that. Look what he said in verse number 11. He said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He said, now God, if you'll do that, he said, I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He said, Lord, I'll help your people that have gotten off track. And he said, I'll reach out to the lost and try to get them saved. I'll try to get them converted unto you. Now go to Psalm 32, and I'm just going to give you probably one truth tonight. You've been very patient. I've really enjoyed the testimonies. They've blessed my heart. I'm full. Okay? Full. And sometimes we just need to come and hear from others, exhorting one another, and so much the more. And I'm grateful for that. You have blessed me. And your testimonies have been a blessing to me. It's encouraged me, and I'm grateful for it. I want you to notice in chapter 32, again, where it says a psalm of David. Now, it doesn't say at Psalm 51, after he had gone in, you know, Nathan the prophet had gone into him. That already happened. This is David saying, Lord, I'm following up. I'm following up on what I promised you I would do. I told you that if you would do these things for me, if you would create in me, if you would create in me a right spirit, and you would, you know, renew in me a clean heart, and you would do these things, then I would teach. And that's what it says right here in Psalm 32. It said, a psalm of David, mashkel, instruction. This great instruction. What's the instruction, David? Well, David starts out his psalm by saying, I'm speaking to you as a blessed man. Look what he said. Blessed is he. He's really saying, I'm a blessed man. He said, I know what it is to be blessed. How do you know that, David? He said, well, I'm going to get to that in a moment, but I just want you to know I'm blessed. You blessed?
Amen.
Blessed. Blessed. Sometimes when we hear people talk about being blessed, and I'm guilty of it myself, we begin to enumerate things, and many of them are tangible, material things, and there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, listen, God gives us those things too, amen? So don't mistake what I'm saying. I'm grateful for the tangible, material things that God blesses us with. I'm grateful for that. But David's not talking about that. Notice what he said. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Present tense. Now, if you'll skip down just for a moment, in verse number 3, that's not present tense. In verse number 5, that's not present tense. Look what it said. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. That was past tense. He's not now saying, I'm acknowledging my sin. He said, there was a time when I acknowledged my sin unto thee. And he said, the latter part of verse number 5, thou forgavest. That's something you've done. But in verse number 1, he said, I'm blessed because I'm forgiven. I'm blessed because I'm forgiven. Amen? I'm blessed. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom iniquity, or unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now I'm going to stop right there for a moment and tell you there's three things that I want you to underline here. There's actually six, but I want you to underline three first, all right? Notice what David said. He said, transgression, sin, iniquity. We'll talk about those, but not tonight. All right? Interesting. He uses the same terms in Psalm 51. He does. It explains how David had got off track in every way in his life. Hey, David's sin didn't start when he lay with Bathsheba. It came to fruition then. Our sin doesn't start with an act. It starts with a thought. You understand that? You see, the fruition of sin is the end of sin, not the beginning. Right? Yes, we have to understand this. And David said, blessed is the man whose transgression, underline that word. Then he said in verse number one, whose sin. And then he said in verse number two, iniquity. We'll talk about those. It talks about ways that we go astray. Oh, preacher, I'll never go astray. Well, I hope you don't. But if you have that attitude, I'm just about going to assure you, you are. And I don't want you to. But more important than me not wanting you to, God doesn't want you to. Don't have the attitude that you've got this, that you can do this. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in the ministry as a pastor that I've talked to who said, you know, preacher, I thought I had it. Had you asked me if I would ever done that, preacher, I'd have said, I would never do that. There are people who have this mindset that I'm going to coast on in and I'm above that and I'm not going to fall and I'm not going to sin and I'm not going to mess up my life. Well, I pray to God that no one here does. But it can happen. It can happen. Had somebody told David somewhere between the time he slew Goliath and lay with Bathsheba, hey son, one day you're going to mess up and it's going to foul your life up. He would have said, oh, no way. Not while they're singing, Saul hath slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. No way. I've got this. God's on my side. God's on my life. Brethren, it can happen. It can happen. And so we have to do some defensive living, and that's what I want to talk to you about in the few moments. I ask you to underline three things. I'm going to give you three other things. Many times these things are overlooked. Verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression, I want you to underline, is forgiven. Thank God, God can forgive sin. Thank God, God can forgive sin. Now don't you go out and prove it. All right? If you're sitting here tonight saved, God's already forgiven your sin. So don't go out and put God to the test. Because we're going to talk about that too. And then he said, whose sin, look at this, is covered. So transgression is forgiven. Underline covered. You underline forgiven? Whose sin is covered. He's using different words because not only is he using different words for the wrong that he done, but he's using different words on how God responded to take care of the wrong that he done. This is how detailed God is about our lives. He could have just said the same, transgression forgiven, sin forgiven, iniquity forgiven, but he didn't do that. Because each one, transgression, sin, iniquity, it's different. And God deals with them differently, and yet they result in the fact that we are clean when God deals with us. Thank God, it's a wonderful thing to be clean. Hey, set free. Set free. Set free. I hope you know something about what it means to be set free. Hey, I've been in bondage before. I've never spent a night in jail in my life in one way. But in another way, I stayed in jail until October the 26th, 1980. From the day I was born to that day, I was in jail every day, all day. Spiritually speaking. But thank God I got set free. I hope you know what it is to be set free. Don't you ever get over being set free by the good grace of God. Don't you ever be ashamed that Jesus set you free and washed you from your sin in his precious blood. Don't ever be ashamed of that. Never. Never. He said, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And then he said in verse number 3, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. In other words, whose iniquity is not imputed. That's a great accounting word. The word imputing. It imputeth or imputed. It's deposited. It's a great word. We're going to talk about it. Remember back when we were talking about as a man, we need to make some deposits as well as withdrawals. Can I tell you, God makes some deposits in our account. Now, he does. God makes the deposits. And that's what David said. He said, oh, he said, I've been blessed. He said, I've had some good grace deposited to my account. Amen. Amen. Now, he said, you'll realize this if, now don't miss this, if, look at the way he ends. I can't tell you how many commentaries, I love to read commentaries. All right, I love to read. I love to read. Sharon and I, I like to aggravate my wife. I don't know any way to put it. I was trying to find a nice way to say it. But I just love to pick at her. You know, we have fun. We're happily married. Amen. At least that's the way I look at it. She might have another testimony. Amen. And I told her, you know what? I'm about getting sick of TV. You can't even watch a movie without them trying to slide something in. I said, honey, I think that we're going to start reading a book every night. She said, like what? And I said, well, I don't know. The Prince's Bride. Chapter 1. Reading is where it's at, brethren. Isn't that what Paul told Timothy? He said, give attendance to reading. Young people, reading is where it's at. I'm proud of you, Leah. I've been hearing that Leah has been reading missionary biographies. That's good. Hey, parents, get your children reading. Reading. Say, well, preacher, do we have to shoot the TV? Now, I'm not saying that, but just get your children reading. Reading's where it's at. I can't tell you how many commentaries I look through, and I mean some good ones. I try to read after choice people. I want to keep my mind fresh and clean. Everybody that I was reading after skipped that last phrase in verse number 2. And God wasn't through. See, David said, I'm a blessed man. I'm blessed because my transgression is forgiven. And if we're not careful, we'll end right there and just shout a while. And we should. Whose sin is covered. Amen, David. That's 2. Praise God. Man. And whom the Lord imputeth not his iniquity. My goodness. And then we'll just forget and go on, but that's not what God did. David said, God said, David, I want you to write this down. Now, don't miss this because this is the key that unlocks the psalm. And in whose spirit there is no guile. What's that mean? That means if you're trying to hide your sin, that's deceptive. And you're not going to be blessed. You're not. David said, let me tell you. See, verse 1 and 2 is present tense. But verse number 3 goes back to past tense. He said, let me tell you what happened to me. I sinned against God. And I tried to hide it. Everybody in the palace knew about it. Joab knew about it. I'm the one who sent. He's the one who took the letter and gave it for Uriah to be put on the front line. Obviously, the prophet of God knew about it. He confronted me about it. Right? No doubt there was whispers around the palace. Have you heard? Have you heard the king had a strange woman? Strange woman? I heard that was Uriah's wife. Ooh. Right? Almost a year. David tried to cover his sin. Don't understand it all. Not going to get in it tonight, but we're going to see what the scripture says as we study this psalm. There's something in us that makes us want to cover our sin, and it goes back to our first parents. The very first thing they did when they sinned is try to cover themselves. Now, you be careful, and God help me to be careful about this thing of covering sin. There's a lot of people that are not living in victory. In church, do a little Bible reading, got that little religious activity going on, but there's unconfessed, covered sin in their lives, and they're not experiencing God's best in their life. I want to help you now. If you're that way or if you're watching tonight, I want to help you from this psalm in the days to come. Unconfessed, covered sin will wreck your life. David tells us about it right here. I mean, it messed him up. It messed him up in his spirit. It messed him up in his body. I mean, it was taking a toll on him. It was taking a toll on him. Sin takes a toll on us, brethren. So what can we do? I'm going to give you three things and I'll be through. Just write them down and we'll look into them. I just want you to try to put these into practice. This is what David said. David said, hey, I'm going to tell you what you can do that'll help you not to try to hide your sin from God and from others. Now, brethren, I'm not going to pull any punches here tonight. There's no need in me trying to pretend to you that I've never tried to hide my sin. I'm no different than you are. You've tried to hide your sin, and I've tried to hide mine. We all try to hide our sin. Oh, not me, preacher. Well, you're hiding it now. We've all tried to cover our sin. I like what the old Puritan preacher said. He said, if you cover your sin, God will uncover it. But if you'll uncover it, God will cover it. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful... Listen, that might not be on the top of the list of great sayings, but it sure has great theology in it. David said, I want to give you some preventative action so that you can experience all in verse number 1 and 2. He said, but now if you try to be deceptive and cover your sin, because he said, this is for you. You can be blessed. Your sin can be forgiven. You can have your sin covered. You can have it to where the Lord will not impute your iniquity to you if there's no guile in your spirit. But if there's guile in your spirit, if there's guile in my spirit and I'm trying to be deceptive and I'm trying to cover my sin and deceive people into thinking that I'm something I'm not or I'm in a place that I'm not, he said, that's not a good place to be. He said, no, don't cover your sin. You say, well, preacher, I'm covering it. Well, please, don't cover your sin. Confess it. Confess it to God tonight. Let me give you these three things and we'll be through. First thing, what can I do, preacher, to where I won't cover my sin and where I won't find myself in a bad way? Well, David says here, he said, the first thing you need to do is verse number 6. He said, you need to do some defensive praying. He said, what is that? You need to pray before you get yourself in a mess. See, a lot of our praying is crisis praying, or a lot of our prayer is get me out of trouble praying. But Jesus said when you pray, he said, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, help us to stay away from it. Right? God, help us to get involved in some preventative maintenance, not always corrective. Right? So you pray and ask God, God, give me wisdom. Look at what he said in verse number 6. He said, for this shall everyone that is godly pray. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. He said, surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. He said, when you see the floodgates opened up, when you begin to sense that you're being drawn away, you need to start doing some preventative praying, and I do too. Amen. Do some defensive praying. God, there's something not right about this. I found my eyes wandering. I found my mind wandering. There's something going on here. Oh, preacher, sin just jumps on me. I've been in the ministry a long time. I've been doing this a long time. I've read this book. That's not the way sin does people. It's rare. Most sin is premeditated, thought out. We don't like to admit that, brethren, but it is. And David said right here, I thought it out. You got to remember what he's talking about. I went out there innocently out on the palace deck, and he said from there on out, premeditated everything that happened after that. He said I needed to be doing some defensive praying, but I wasn't. So I want to try to help you now. He said in verse number 6, he said, do some praying when God can be found. Don't wait till the great flood waters are coming and you're about to be overtaken and you're going down for the third time and start praying. That's not saying God won't help you. But it's saying that you knew way before that you needed God to reach out His hand to you and to help you. You should have been praying before now. Number one, do some defensive or some preventative praying. Pray every day. God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. God, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to let you down. I don't want to break fellowship with you, Lord. I don't want to say something that tomorrow I'll be sorry I said and I'll have to go and apologize for it. I don't want to do something that'll shame you or my family or hurt my testimony. God, help me. Right? Defensive praying. Preventative praying. Number two. He said not only that, he said get along with God and get God's mind and get God's wisdom. Look at verse number 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Right? Get alone with God and ask God to encamp about you and to put a hedge of protection about you. Don't have so much confidence in what you know or where you're at in your life spiritually. Realize that we're all just one step away from making a very bad decision. We're just one day away from ruining a testimony that for years have been built. And it can happen to any of us. It happened to a good man of God, a man after God's own heart. And he said, I want to share with you what you can do to where you won't have to go through what I went through. Do some preventative, some defensive praying. Pray and ask God to deliver you from evil, to lead you not into temptation, to strengthen you for the day of trouble. Number two, verse 7, the first part of it. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Get alone with God. Spend time with the Lord. Sister Ann said it tonight. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Get alone with the Lord. Make time. A.W. Tozer said, take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. How we need to do that. How we need to do that. Then number three, and this will be it. The latter part of verse number 7, he said, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I'm very eager to show you what David is referring to here in 2 Samuel with that statement. What do you mean, preacher? Don't forget to praise God when He comes through for you. Don't forget to praise God when He answers your prayer or He meets your need. Give God the glory. Praise His holy name. It's been great to hear testimonies tonight. But you know, this should be something that just happens. Spontaneous, because God is always meeting our needs and answering our prayers. Isn't He, brethren? Amen. And David said, Lord, you know, I found myself in a way to where I just wasn't mindful to give you the praise of the many times that you had met my need and delivered me from a bad situation. He said, I won't make that mistake again by your grace, Lord. I won't make that mistake again. So here's three good ways. Now there's more, but here's three good ways we can get started on in the upcoming week. Can I encourage you to do some defensive praying? You've heard of defensive driving, right? How many of you had to take a defensive driving course? Raise your hand. My goodness gracious. It's a wonder we ain't had wrecks in the parking lot. Hey, man. Wait a minute. Raise those hands again. You had to take a defensive drive. Somebody should get a snapshot of this. I'm staying away from these folks. Amen. Defensive driver's course. Amen. Well, if you must know, I had to take one when I was younger too. Amen. I did. Reckless driver. Reckless. I'm older and some wiser, and I drive a little better, but defensive driving, David said, do a little defensive praying. Be aware of what's going on. See, that's what they teach in defensive driving. They teach you, hey, you've got to look out for others. You can't just ride down the road like you're the only person in the road. You say, you can't? No, you can't. Hey, you've got to be aware of surroundings. You've got to watch others. That's what defensive praying is. You've got to be aware of your surroundings. You've got to realize where the enemy is and what he's doing and how he's coming at you. Do some defensive praying. Number two, find a hiding place. What a place to be. Get in the secret place. Get along with God and get His wisdom. Amen? Spend some time with God and let Him renew some things in our hearts and in our lives. I'm preaching this to me as much as I am to you. God gave me this message, and it's just really helped me. That's why I know, I say it with confidence, Psalm 32 is going to help us, brethren. It's helping me. It's helping me. And then thirdly, that's two. Then thirdly, all right? He said, praise God. Praise God and sing to Him the song of deliverance for every time. When God does something special for you, don't you keep that to yourself. Certainly you tell God about it, but you tell everybody you come in contact with, I just got to tell you, I've got a great God. I've got a great God. Begin to praise the Lord, and God will begin to use you and to use me to be a witness and a testimony. And David said, I promise God I'm going to do it, and he did. Let's stand to our feet. This psalm's a great psalm. I've heard it preached many times. One of the greatest messages I've ever heard preached on Psalm 32, Dr. Ron Comfort, who we have here, he's got messages that he preaches out of Psalm 32. It's tremendous. So I went back to the psalm. I've been studying some of the psalms. And God's allowed me to bring some of them to our congregation. And this psalm just really stuck out to me, and it's helped me. And God said, well, now I want you to preach it, and maybe it'll help you. And I hope it will. All right? I hope it will. Let's bow our heads together. It's been a great day.